Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. LiveDeliverance.com. You're on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, get a pen and some paper and take some notes. If you have any questions or comments about the ministry at the end of the teaching, we'll give you a time to voice those things. Is what we do is called running laps to give you an opportunity to participate and grow thereby. So with that being said, let's go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time. Because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men. as you teach of how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we want to get into the thing God has dropped in my spirit. And the title would be Strife, the Pathway to Failure. And I would like for you to take the foundation scriptures and write them down so that you can study them. And it's a lot of them, and that's why I want you to write them down so that you can glean from the Spirit of God the same things that he's revealing to me. He's no respecter of persons. So it's not a special privilege that I have to connect the Word of God to my life. He's inviting all of us to do the same thing. That's why he wants us to study, to show ourselves approved, that we would be able to then work the Word, be a workman unto God that rightly divides, that's not ashamed. See, he wants to change our lives from those that walk with their heads held down in shame to those that look expectantly unto him with their heads raised. He said, lift up your gates, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting arms, and the King of glory will come in. See, so then if I can lift up, look up, then my expectation can be fulfilled. But when I'm looking down, all I'm looking for, well, that's true, sir. When I'm looking down, all I'm looking for is the next opportunity to be tripped up. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee. See, he wants us to lift up our heads, okay? So let's study to show ourselves approved. The foundation scriptures would be Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 17 through 28. And Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. I'll read those again. All of these are found in the book of Proverbs. 14:12, 16:6 and 7, 17:14, 18:14, 26:17 through 28, Proverbs 28, verse 25. Also, John 10:10, Romans 7:19 and 20, James chapter 1. Verses 12 through 20, chapter 3, verses 12 through 18, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through chapter 3, verse 8. Okay? So that's just for you to kind of study so that you can keep up. Sometimes I know I am a quick hearer, if you would. So those are the ones that are the foundation scriptures. Now, during the teaching, as God breathes on it, there might be other entries that he would give me, and I'll give you those locations where you can find it in the Bible at the time that we go to those. But dealing with strife as a pathway to our failure, those scriptures would be foundational. Because God is wanting us to experience his grace and grow in that grace so that we can get to the place of walking in victory day by day. Amen. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And because he was full of grace and truth, he lived in victory every day. See, I mean, the things of the Spirit, they are hidden. They're not hidden from us. They are hidden for us so that they would be protected until the revelation strikes our heart. And then when that happens, according to Matthew chapter 16:13, it says that when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Then he asked, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're blessed, Peter, empowered to prosper. That's what the word blessed means. He says, the reason you're empowered to prosper is because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock, I will build the church, my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So then when we grow in grace, then revelation is available and built on in our heart so that we can walk in victory every day. Okay? So that's why, notice it said that Jesus was full of grace and truth. That means he didn't have anything else that was on the inside except grace and truth. He was full of it. If you were to cut him on his body, what would come out is manifestations of grace and truth. You know, blood would come out. Yeah, and the blood was there because of the grace and truth. There was a guy that was a notorious bad guy in New York, and he got saved, and he really got saved. And he was walking in the streets of New York, and I guess some of the things that we do as they come to fruition in our life, someone came up to him to rob him. And, you know, he is now regenerated, so he didn't think of defense because all he had in him was the word of God. And so he told the person that was trying to rob him, he said, Jesus loves you. And the man that was trying to rob him said, man, I don't want to hear nothing about that. Shut up and give me your money. And he said again, Jesus loves you. And the man said, if you say anything else, I'm going to shoot you. And the man said again, Jesus loved you. And he said, you think I'm joking? I told you I was going to shoot you. And the man told him, he said, even if you do, every drop of my blood will be saying to you, Jesus loves you. So then he pulled the trigger, and the gun did not fire. He pulled the trigger again, and the gun did not fire. And in between the two times that he was pulling the trigger, the man said again to him, Jesus loves you. Knowing that there was nothing wrong with his gun, he began to look at things from a different perspective. And he began to ask, how can I enter into this love then that Jesus has for me? Because things are bad in my life. And the man went on and ministered to him and got him saved. And that guy that was trying to kill the man became a preacher to tell people the same thing, that Jesus loves you. See, that's when you're full of grace, full of truth, full of the word. There's nothing else in you. That's why strife is so detrimental, because we generally gravitate toward that rather than the love of God. And just so that you would know, in Romans chapter 5, it says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Glory to God. It didn't say it was dabbed, a little dab here, a little dab there, a small smattering here. No, he said it was shed abroad in your hearts. See, we need to learn how to live by that love. That's what God wants us to do, intended for us to do. As we go through life, day by day, we're going to have countless opportunities for either grace that we can enjoy or pain that we will have to endure. You can either enjoy grace or endure pain. It's your choice. But if you would allow your heart, your life to be full of grace and truth, then God, here's what he says in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. He says, those that know their God, they're going to be strong and they're going to do exploits. See, those that are intimate know their God. That's the same word as when a husband and wife have a sexual union, they enter into the place of intimate knowledge. They know one another. Those that know their God, that are intimate with their God. I said last time that intimacy, well, you know intimacy, a prayer produces intimacy. And in the place of intimacy, secrets are shared. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. See, so when you purpose to allow your life to be filled with grace and truth, then he will also, at the same time, begin the process of sharing with you things that you didn't know. He says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Jeremiah 33:3. You do remember what happened when Samuel asked God for wisdom to rule his people. God told him, he says, because you want to know me, because you want wisdom in your life, I'm going to give you the other stuff that you didn't ask for. So you get those secrets when you turn your heart to the place where you can be intimate with God. See? And then I'm finding out that there is no end to the intimacy that he wants to have with you. Did he not tell us, be Jesus? It's in red, John chapter 20. He said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Be filled with it. See, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, then these processes that we're looking for to cause things to turn around in our life, that's easy now. He said he will, again, I'm quoting scripture just so that we can hear it. Psalms 84:11 says that he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. Okay. He did not say that the good thing would flow if I visit every once in a while. If I come, I just come drop by. He said I have to walk this way. It becomes the steps of my life, if you would. Because there are steps that are preordained that we should walk in them. See, my steps are ordered of the Lord. The steps of a good man, a righteous man. See, so if I'm going to decide that I'm not going to do the right thing, the order of my steps now is no longer divine. It is now demonic. And then I wonder why things are not working the way God says they're supposed to work. Well, I would submit to you, you're not listening to God now. You're listening to flesh. Your flesh, somebody else's flesh, doesn't matter. I was ministering yesterday, and I heard this again. You know, we used to sing songs that I guess they sounded good, but they weren't exact. Because the song that I was referencing was, it said, give me that old-time religion. It was good enough for my mother, and it's good enough for me. No, I cannot live my mother's religion. According to scripture, again, he says, hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. See? I can't walk out my, I cannot complete my grandmother's faith. Because at the end of her life, she received her reward. So there is no reward for me for her life. There is an inheritance, yes, I get that. There is an anointing that can be transferred. That's 100% correct. See, but that's not an old religion. That is a new relationship that I have to walk out before God. See, I'm not supposed to remove the ancient or the old landmarks, but I'm not supposed to try to live in the old. I'm supposed to use them as references. so that I, as a starting point, if you would, because if I'm supposed to go from glory to glory, and I am, if I'm supposed to grow in grace, and I am, then I cannot continue to rehash the thing that was yesterday. You know, when they were, the children of Israel were in the wilderness, he would give them manna, but he told them specifically, don't try to live off of yesterday's manna. Okay? There are people that will always try to go and have a goosebump experience and then try to reproduce the goosebump experience. That's not where you find God. He is the great I am, not the I used to be. Today, if you will hear his voice. See? So he's the now faith is. He's trying to bring us to the place where, yes, sir. He's trying to bring us to the place where we're current so that the current position of life will answer the issues of life. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to get what happens when we have insufficient funds in the bank. We'll write the check, but it can't get cashed. See? And then when we do that repeatedly, then our integrity now comes into question, doesn't it? That's why he wants you to hear his voice today, while it is called today. He doesn't want you to hear his voice tomorrow and then try to call that today. He doesn't want you to try to hear his voice yesterday and try to call that today. He wants you to hear his voice while it is called today. See? As we begin to do that, then we learn how the trust of God should be applied. See? It's not something that you store up. It is an active use. If the evil is going to be sufficient for the day, do you not think, understand, and perceive that the faith would be sufficient for the day? Amen. It's not an account where you just keep depositing and keep depositing it. Then when things get bad, no. You walk in it. You use it. Okay, let's do it this way. You live by it. The things that you put in the bank, that's not what you live off of. That's the promise of your tomorrow. But what you eat today, you have to eat it today. How many of you have tried to eat for tomorrow today? Doesn't work too good, does it? Because soon as the systems that are in place, digestion, start operating, then the food that you partook of is going to pass through. The systems that God put in place will cause it to be used. Well, the same thing is applicable in the spirit. See, he wants you to live by faith so that everything that comes at you in that day, the faith that you are living in, meets the need for that day. I mean, you can hear Jesus telling us that. Don't be thinking about tomorrow, trying to handle stuff tomorrow. That's where you see that in Matthew chapter 6. That's what he said. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. See? So then you should live the same way. Don't try to store up faith and then borrow on that faith. Don't try to walk on other people's faith by borrowing on it. Amen. See? He's going to give you opportunities to either enjoy and grow in grace or endure pain and shrink back. When you are consistently enduring pain, it causes atrophy. Oh, okay, all right, there it is. It causes atrophy in the spirit. Here it is, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. It says it this way. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? This scripture both makes a statement and asks a question. It gives you a dividing line. Do you want to try to man up and endure the pain? Because it says the spirit of the man will sustain his infirmity. So do you want to try to man up, knowing that your spirit all the time is looking for a better path? And if we decide to man up, then we usually listen to fleshy tendencies, and we ignore spiritual security. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. See, I have the opportunity to grow in grace, enjoy the grace. Okay. He said he wants us to enjoy. He's given us all things freely to enjoy. Okay, so he wants us to enjoy the grace. And the grace is there. Come on, y'all, Hebrews chapter 4. The grace is there that we would be able to use it in the time of trouble. Please hear this. So if I am growing in grace, enjoying the grace, my trouble should not be something that causes me to be frustrated, because I am enjoying the grace that overcomes the trouble. I mean, do you see that? Because he said we need to grow in grace. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. So then if you say that the trial that you're going through, that God is strengthening you to go through the trial, why do you have sorrow, sad faces? Did he not tell us again, count it all joy? Okay, so then if I'm going through the thing without understanding that joy should be the thing that strengthens me, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. He didn't say the joy from the Lord. He said the joy of the Lord. In other words, the same joy that Jesus used. He says it in Hebrews chapter 12, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He could not endure the cross if the joy was not set before him. Okay? We're trying to think thoughts that Jesus thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See? So then we didn't hear Jesus staying in a position of frustration. He did pray, Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup pass. Next words out of his mouth, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Except I participate in the plan that you have. This plan is not to stretch me out just to see how much I can endure. It is setting joy before me. Joy is a choice then. Or Isaiah chapter 1 verse 12 says that I'm supposed to participate with using joy to draw out of the well of salvation. See, so if I want to allow my deliverance, my salvation to be seen and accessible to me, then he says the best way to get that is to draw out of the well of salvation by employing joy. See, if I don't do that, then really I'm putting myself at a disadvantage. I'm not enjoying grace, and then I'm just counting the days of my pain. Like sand through the hourglass, these are the days of our lives. I'm just counting my time in this mess, rather than receiving the strength, the joy of the Lord being the thing that strengthens me. So then when I receive the strength, come on, y'all, just as a point of reference, as I receive the strength, I'm looking for ways to use the strength, aren't I? I'm not looking for ways to count how frustrated I am. See, I'm not drawing out of the wells of salvation if that's what I'm doing. If I'm counting this thing, if I'm counting it as a frustration, I'm in violation of the scripture that says, count it all joy. We're talking about strife being the pathway to failure. And one of the things that we do is we continually contend with God. We'll deal with the strife in between ourselves. But when we don't agree with God, we don't like the way he does things. Be honest. See? So then if I don't like the way he does things, I just entered into strife. If I'm going to think or have the concept that I know better than God, then I'm not understanding what he says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want you to get that. Let's hear the scripture. It says there is a way, singular, which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways, plural, of death. Wow. I enter into confusion, and I no longer know which path I should be on. Did it not tell us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, for us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not to our own understanding? In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and then we can expect him to direct our path with an S. See, so I'm now thinking that I know more than God. So since I think I know more than God, I'm going to try to go that way. And that way, which is confusion, he says, that way then are going to take me to ways. Endless circles, if you would. And all of the, well, I'm not going to say endless, futile ways. Because all of those ways end up in death. Okay? According to what he said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See? These are the preordained steps that God wants us to walk in to enjoy grace, to find the joy and utilize the joy to cause me to be able to receive the strength. Okay, all right. He didn't tell me to receive strength just to endure. We endure pain. If joy is involved, my deliverance is active. Okay. I was learning how to swim. And so I would go down to the pool. I would be down there for hours. When the pool opened, I was down there. When the pool closed, I was still down there. Because I was a musician, and my schedule was a different schedule, so I could enjoy things like that. And so I knew the lifeguard very, very, very well because I would see him, like I said, every day. First of all, I figured if I was paying the amount of money that I was paying for that pool to be there, so I'd be doggone if I'm not going to use it. That was just the way I was thinking, okay? So I was learning how to swim, and so I would practice and get some things. And the first time that I swam at night, the light that was in the pool came on, and it caused me to be a little disoriented because I could make it from one side of the pool to the other just by using my hands. I practiced that way. Or I could get across the pool just by using my legs, okay, because I wanted to do that. But I got disoriented because the light made the wall appear to be closer than it was. And so naturally, when I thought I was at the wall, I stopped swimming. I stopped kicking. And so I'm looking for the lifeguard because I know where he is in almost at all times because I would make sure that he was within a distance to save me. And so I start, you know, flailing all around the place, looking for the lifeguard, looking for my help. And I could hear him holler at me, do something that was very simple. He said, keep kicking. And so then I began to kick. And as I began to kick, I saw him jump in the pool at the deep end, which still put him about 25, 30 feet away from me. But as I started kicking, my hand hit the wall again. And then he came down and said, yeah, you did right. All you got to do is keep kicking. So that was a step that I was supposed to utilize. I was supposed to walk in. See? So then I would ask the question, are there things in your life where the instruction of God has already been given, but you're no longer utilizing that instruction? Remember, Jesus said that upon the revelation that God gives you, the gates of hell cannot, will not prevail against it. So it's like, okay, let's go back and do the steps. He didn't tell me to participate in frustration. Go back and do the steps. Pick up where I stopped. Wherever you disconnected from God, when you go back to that place in obedience, you'll find God still there. Because he's the one that says stuff like this, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Didn't say you won't leave him. So in the place where you left him at, the place that you decided to do your own thing, the way that seemed right to you, you separated from God, but God is right there. When you repent, what that means is to turn around, go back to where you lost contact with God. Connect with him, and he's going to take you forward. That's exactly what happened. Come on, y'all. I'm just giving y'all scripture and then biblical execution. You remember when Jesus told Peter, when he asked him if it was him, if it be you, Lord, bid me come. And then Jesus said one word to him. He said, come. Why? Well, because it was him. And then Peter walked on the water. Then he began to look at the waves, and he began to look at the wind. And it says, beginning to sink. Peter didn't even wait till he was knee-deep in the water. It said, I guess he was ankle-deep. It said, beginning to sink. He said, Lord, he cried out, help me. And then Jesus reached down to where he was. I want you to get that. Wherever you lost contact with God, and if you would align your obedience and your heart to the place where you lost contact, you will find him right there. And then Jesus reached out his hand, lifted him up, and then the Bible says a very beautiful thing. It says, and they walked to the boat. See, it wasn't that he said, okay, you're just never going to do that. You couldn't do, what made you think you should be walking on the water? Jesus didn't have that conversation with him. He did ask him, why did you doubt? See? Then it says that he reached out and told him, said, come on, let's go get on the boat. Let's look at that so you can see I'm not just making these things up. Matthew chapter 14. Let's see it. In verse 28. It says, and Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be you, if it be thou, bid me come to thee upon the water, on the water. And Jesus said one word, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he, underlined, parenthesis, highlight color, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And circle the word. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And verse 32, and when they were come into the ship. So Jesus finished what he started. He always finishes what he started. He will perfect that which concerns you. Glory to God. You didn't finish the work of the victory that he started. He takes you to the place where you disconnected from him, and he says, now, let's do it again. Glory to God. Because he doesn't get pleasure if your faith is not engaged. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Excuse me. So he's going to go, come on, y'all. So he's going to come back to the place where you separated from him, and he's going to strengthen your faith. Because without that faith, he can't be pleased. Oh, wow. He didn't say without faith he can't be God. It says without faith it's impossible to please. See, we didn't change him by our lack of faith, by our doubt and unbelief, but we can't please him. Why did you doubt, Peter? You were already walking, and I heard this, and I'm just repeating it because it's 100% correct. Peter technically didn't walk on the water. He walked on the word, come. The water just happened to be there. Amen. If it be you, Lord, doing stuff I ain't never seen before, be it me to do it. He said, come. He did not check his qualifications before he let him come. Well, let's see now, Pete. You ain't been this. You came on day 7, and you should have came on day 1. If you've been with me from day 1, you might have been able to do this, Pete. But no. He didn't check for that. He simply said, it's me. Come. And Peter jumped out of the boat to obey that one word. And I'll say this. If the word come or the initial word was good enough for you to start, the same initial word is good enough for you to finish. Glory to God. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not spoken it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not said it? Shall he not bring it to pass? The word is what Peter was able to be sustained by. He didn't ask Peter, How is it that you have no waterproof shoes now? He asked him, how is it that you have no faith? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm not just making that up so it sounds good. Peter was walking, being sustained by the word. And the same power of God is sustaining your life. So if you find yourself in a place where you are disconnected, just go back to the place of your rebellion. Go back to the place of your doubt. Go back to the place of your fear and say, no, your word to me was this. And that same word, the power of that word, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love that. Again, I told you, he's right there waiting on you at the place of disconnect. Go back to that place. And he's the same, saying exactly what he said the first time. Glory to God. If you would look at this example here, Peter began to process information that was not the word that caused him to move. Ooh, did you see that? The word that caused him to move, glory to God, the word that caused him to move was come. Verse 29. And Jesus said, come. And then Peter moved. And Peter was come down out of the ship. The word that caused you to move, the power is still in that same word. But Peter began to process and think about something other than the word that made him move in the beginning. There was a song that was secular, but it's applicable. It says the same thing it took to get your baby hooked, it's going to take the same thing to keep her. So the same word that caused you to move, it's going to take the same word to cause you to get to victory. Amen. Just go back, repent, start from where you disconnected. See? Start from where you disconnected. Repent. Say, Lord, you know what? This is not what you did not say, come in fear. Come and watch. You know what? That is true. That is so true. He didn't even tell Peter to come and look. He didn't tell Peter to come and see. He told Peter to come. Wow. And sometimes, there we go. We want to test, taste and see, test and see. Is this going to be doable? If God said it, he's not a man that he should lie. His word will not return to him void. So since God said it, let me move on that. I almost can't help it, beloved. I'm talking about strife is the pathway to failure, and the strife and argument, contention that we have with God is the first thing that I'm talking about here. God does not alter the thing. That's what it says. Right out says it. Psalm 78, 35 says, God will not alter the thing that is gone forth out of his mouth. Come on. Said he will not. Okay. He will not alter it. In other words, it has the same exact power. Flip over there so you can see it. So that you can see it. Psalms 89. And he says in verse 28 and following, my mercy will I keep for him forever. He's talking about David. Okay? Okay, wait a minute. Let's go. Back up. All right, let's start at verse 20 so that you can know that he's talking about David. Okay, let's just go. Ooh, Lord, this is good stuff. Ooh, ooh. Glory to God. Whew. Read the whole thing. Here's some more homework. Goodness gracious is good. Verse 20 says, I have found David, my servant. Okay. So did you get that? He said he found David. That means he was looking, wasn't it? So that God's looking for. He's looking for, according to 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth so that he can show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a mature or perfect heart towards him. So he says, David, my servant, I found him. He'd already given the testimony that he was a man that was after God's heart. He said, I found my servant. And with my holy oil, I've anointed him. Well, we go one degree higher because we've been anointed by the Spirit of God, not just the oil. The oil is representative of the Spirit, and we have been given the Spirit of God. And with whom mine hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. Come on, y'all. He said he's going to establish the hand. He's going to establish the first point of contact. That would be the hand, wouldn't it? Yeah. Okay. Even in the spirit, when you connect heart to heart, there was a reaching forth. First, wasn't it? So the first point of contact. Here he just said in the natural that would be the hand. Then he says, and I will do what? Strengthen him with my arm. Okay, wow. Woo! Lord Jesus. So the first point of contact is going to bring you to the point of strength. That would be the arm. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? First point of contact, hand. But he's not going to leave you at the first point of contact. He's going to bring you into the place of strength. Arm. And the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face. Thank you, my God. God said, this is the promise here, y'all. These are prophetic words. And I will beat down his foes before his face. And plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. God's going to cause you to do stuff. Come on now. He's going to put you to work. He's going to get you involved in his plan, in his purpose. And he said, I'm going to set that there. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, he says, then he will give us the desires. That's not when I'm happy with God, I can expect God to make me happy. No, that's not what that says. It says that when I delight in him, then the exchange will be, I will receive something in my heart. He will give me the desires he will give them to my heart. He's not trying to bless the mess. He's trying to strengthen the son. He will cry unto me, thou art my father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy shall I keep, for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne is the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, so the important fact here is not being visited because of my sin. Nevertheless, okay, nevertheless would mean equal to what you just heard. Is that correct? Nevertheless. It cannot be dismissed as insignificant. It has to be of equal value, nevertheless. So if you're going to think about the punishment, please understand that this is equal to the punishment. Nevertheless, there will not be a time that this statement that I'm about to make is going to be diminished because of the first statement. Okay. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I've sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, as a faithful witness in heaven. Think about that. Selah. So then God's word, the same power that's in the word that drew you, is the same power in the word that will sustain you. Because he will not alter it. It doesn't wane. Nevertheless. Okay? So again, we've got to learn to approach God so that we can participate in the love that he has already set abroad toward me. He sent that to me. Why did he send that love? So that I can be and do what he said I can be and do. But he says that if I'm going to endure the pain rather than enjoy the grace, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to have a wounded spirit. And a wounded spirit feels isolated and alone. A wounded spirit walks that way, isolated and alone, separated from God, separated from truth, separated from victory. And this isolation fosters unforgiveness, and this unforgiveness quickly leads to strife. That's why he asked two questions. I asked a question and made a statement. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So since we cannot bear it, it then takes the occasion and moves us. We don't bear or move it, take it where it, send it where it needs to go. So then it takes us the way we shouldn't go. You remember that statement that Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 19 to 20, for the good that I would not, that I do, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I, but the sin that dwells in me. What is the sin that dwells in this particular time? It was strife, division, confrontation with God. See it? He didn't, in this specific, in Romans chapter 7, he didn't name the sin. He just stated that the thing that was moving him was sin. Missing the mark. Sin is not what you do, okay? It's bigger than that. It's being without a portion. So then if I'm without a portion, naturally I'm going to do the wrong things. Because I'm trying to get stuff done. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, the devil wants to sow strife in our life so that he can steal, kill, and destroy. Strife is the sowing ground for the problems of our life. I'll say that again. Strife is the sowing ground for the problems in our life. The thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He uses strife to separate, take away from us people that are supposed to be in our lives. Take away from us truth that we're supposed to walk in. Take away from us the love that has been shed. You see, he steals, kills, and destroys. The divide that strife causes in our life is the place that the devil enters in. Don't give him any room. Don't give him any space. That's what Jesus told us. See, we've got to stop the strife. We've got to stop arguing even with God, because we don't like the process. And I get that. Sometimes the process is not the thing that we were looking for. But the process is what develops faith. It's what develops confidence. It's what develops trust. It gives us the ability to strengthen our muscle. See? The Bible says it this way. Those who by reason of use have exercised their spirit to know the difference between good and evil. By reason of use. See? So that if we don't use it, if we don't resist, we're not using it. We align our heart with what God says, because he will not alter the thing that has gone forth out of his lips. It's not going to change. He knows how to deliver by many or by few. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. He knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. 2 Samuel 14:6. So that means that if I apply the word, he will deliver by that word. If I don't apply that word and the devil sends five people to make me think it can never happen that way, well, he knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. See? So then I just go back to the word and stop dealing with the Job witnesses that was telling Job, curse God and die. That's what his wife said. And they would say, man, you all wrong. You got this all wrong. But Job never left his position of faith. He would say things and say, if he slay me, I'm still going to serve him. Why? Because y'all can't stop this. And because he held on to that, then God himself came and talked to this crowd and said, out of the whirlwind, the Bible says. God himself said, y'all ain't been like my servant Job. And he going to pray for y'all. Because if he don't pray, I ain't going to do nothing for y'all. You knucklehead, no understanding covenant people. And then after Job prayed, he was restored sevenfold. Because he knows how to deliver by many or few. He knows no limits or no restraints. So then we've got to stop striving with God, trying to get and have our way, always ending up leaning to our own understanding. The last time I checked, a lean comes prior to a fall. So it would be wise for me not to be caught leaning. Amen. The word strife in Strong's definition, 2052, it means to spin words like one who works with wool, twisting. So then that's what the devil's going to do. He's going to try to convince you by twisting. Sometimes, wow, Lord, sometimes by pressure in the twist and sometimes in confusion in the twist, taking it in another direction. Jesus wants us to walk the straight and narrow. So the devil gets in and by pressure and or direction causes twistings. Okay? And those twistings don't allow us to walk the straight path that his word laid out for us. Because the word that he spoke originally will not be altered. Come on, y'all, just stay there for that one. If the word is not altered, then my path should not alter. Amen. Because just like Peter, I'm going to walk above the circumstances, the wind that was all contrary to them. I'm going to walk above the circumstances on the word that was given. See? So then as I do that, then I'm causing joy to be given to my Lord. I'm causing honor to be given to my Lord. Then I took my eye off of Jesus. Peter did. Next thing you know, beginning to sink, he began to cry like a baby instead of walking like a man. Oh my God, that's just real good. Whew. He began to cry like a baby instead of walking like a man. The man Christ Jesus was walking on. He came to them walking on the water, walking like a man. Peter was invited to that same opportunity, and he did it, and then he began to sink, and he started crying like a baby. Again, those who by reason of strength have exercised their spirit. This kind of meat belongs to those who are of full age, like a man. And apparently in the New Testament, we can see that the strife was so prevalent, like it applied to distinctions of court or rank and file, rank and order, if you would. And the people were so accustomed to the rank and file of the day that they began to bring that stuff into the body of Christ. And they would say stuff like, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul. See, that strife was entering into the church. And Paul had to deal with it. He said, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? But ministers by whom you believe. He said, so let me just help you out. The one that plants, he's nothing. The one that waters, He's nothing. But it's God that gives the increase. See, it's God that sustains the thing. How you entered in is not even important. Because one is going to plant. One is going to water. But it don't matter about the watering and planting. In the hierarchy of things. Well, I like the way he preached. That's you're going to strife right there. Because it's not the one that's ministering, it's God that's giving the revelation, God that's giving the increase. It didn't say that he watches over his preacher. It says he watches over his word. Oh, you still can't touch his anointed. Don't get that confused. You can't do his prophets no harm. Got that. But he's protecting the word, and they are couriers and carriers of the word. So by virtue of what they have on the inside, they are protected. Amen. That's what Jesus told us in John chapter 15. If my words abide in you and you abide in my words, then you will ask what you will and it will be given you. It's not because of who you are. It's because of what's in you. Then it says in Strong, it says they desire to put oneself forward. A partisan and factitious spirit which does not disdain low arts. Oh boy, that just blew up. I'm probably about to finish here. It says it does not disdain low arts. It does the opposite of what the Bible says, that we're supposed to bring every thought into captivity that wants to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We'll keep letting things elevate, exalt themselves above what God has said. God says you can, and here come five other people to tell you you can't. You don't disdain that. The Bible tells us that we should stop hanging around people once we perceive that the wisdom of God is not in them. Should just stop hanging around them. But because they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do, we go talk to them rather than listen to God. God is always asking you to grow in grace, grow in the Spirit. People that are carnal will tell you it's okay, just stay right there. Because when you, that's true too, when you begin to walk in the Spirit and walk these things out, you expose the ones that don't want to walk it out. So naturally, they will tell you, don't compete with my negligence. Leave me alone so I can stay carnal. Because after all, it don't take all that. No, it doesn't. But if you want to get to victory, it does. It only takes all of that if you want to grow in grace. If you want to experience victory, if you want to hear well done. See, I don't want to hear undone. I don't want to hear half done. I want to hear well done. That I fought the good fight of faith, that I finish my course. So I don't want to be up there talking about, yeah, I saw what I was supposed to do. I want to do it. The unwise servant that buried the talent did see the talent. Otherwise, he never could have buried the talent. He just didn't use the talent. And God is wanting, he's wanting a return on his investment. That's why he told us to go into all the world and make disciples. He's looking for a return. And in the dispensation that we live in, it's going to be more and more required, because people of command have come up with all kind of things that would cause us to diffuse the Spirit of God, the power of God, the Word of God. You don't need that, because we can do things even quicker than God. We have a microwave now. We have instant potatoes. You didn't have to go out into the farm and grow them and go through all those processes of planting and harvesting. You didn't have to go through that. Here, in a box, you can have instant potatoes. So then, in that regard, that diminishes God in the thought process of some people. Because science has come up with things that they can do. They can do it quicker. They can do it seemingly better. So in our dispensation, it's going to be mandatory that we forge through and get it done God's way. And God is not a God that's going to be slow in his work. He said, I do a quick work in the earth. He hastens his word to perform it. See? But because we've been in our minds and in our hearts disconnected from that, from the power of God. See, Paul came and said, I don't come talking to you with man's wisdom and alluring words, but I come in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith will not be in man. It will not stand in the position where man has his hands all over it, but it will stand in the power of God. See? And in our dispensation, Paul released that in this dispensation. So it's going to have to be brought up and executed in this dispensation. See? Moses had to deal with witchcraft and science that had made the people think God was not necessary. Moses went to Pharaoh and said, you ain't did nothing. Here, you want snakes to be crawling around? Throw down some, here, boys, throw down them sticks and make them come snakes. And then they did it. It didn't say they thought about doing it. They said, I hope it worked. They did it. And then God said, let me show you how limited your power is. Moses' serpent ate up a serpent. See? A demonstration of power and of the Spirit. No. We're not competing with. That's not a deal. There is no competition. But there is supposed to be a display. We're supposed to be witnesses. After the Holy Ghost comes upon us and gives us power. Amen. He didn't just give us words. Come on, y'all. The Holy Ghost gave us power for this dispensation. And we have relegated it to comforting words. I can name ministries that all they do is give comforting words. Where is the power? It says that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Didn't say you shall receive intellect. You shall receive orations. Didn't say that. Said you shall receive power. See? And so then as we begin to stop fighting with God in the things in our mind that just don't make sense, so therefore since it didn't make sense, it can't be God. No, God's not trying to make sense. He's making faith. Wow. He's making faith and releasing love. Yes, sir. That's what God's interested in. Because that's how they're going to know that we are disciplined disciples of Jesus, is because of love that we have one for the other. But here we are, too busy allowing strife to enter in and rule. And so when they see that, all they see is contention and division. That's why he tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. That we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one God, one Lord, one Savior, one baptism. See? And here we are causing divisions, which helps strife become strengthened in our life. And it becomes a staple in the ones that view our life. Okay? He told us to make disciples. He didn't tell us to make disciples that know strife and understand confusion. They should know us by love. And they should grow and desire love. That's the greatest commandment that he left us. Again, he didn't tell us to be intellectual. He told us to be lovers. See? And a lot of times in ministry, we hear that the lordship of education is what we're going to have to participate in to bring change. I'm sorry, see, I try to stay out of this, but here it is. That's what we gravitated toward. We took God and made him a mind rather than hearing that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, M-U-S-T, worship him in spirit and in truth. It did not say intellect. Didn't say that. But we've got behind what were good-sounding connections. I'm not mad at the people that said it. I get why they said it. But whatever exalts itself above the knowledge of God, we're going to bring that thing into captivity. And generally, the way it was said, in particularly for black minds, it was that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. So, did they teach you to go back to what God requiring? That you worship him in spirit? That you love the Lord your God with all your heart first? Then you get to the mind? Because when you take the heart out of play, when you're trying to get to the things of the mind will elevate itself. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See? It will elevate itself. It will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Strife. That's what that is. And so then you'll try to serve God with your mind. And your mind will excuse things. Because even with your mind, these are things we say. With the mind, we say things like this. God knows my heart. That statement came out of your mind. And then that statement will stop you from forgiving. Because you'll say things like, I forgive, but I won't forget. Mm-hmm. And that's a function of the mind, isn't it? When God says, forgive if you have aught against any. But you're going to say, I can't forgive. That comes out of the mind, and then now the mind has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You don't disdain the lower functions of life. I guess I'll just go here to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and I'll close it here. Chapter 3. If my heart is engaged to obeying God, then the things that I'm supposed to do, I do cheerfully. I concur gladly. That's what Paul finished saying when he started in chapter 7. Before he got to chapter 8 that says, there is therefore now no condemnation to anyone in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Because he says, you don't understand, y'all don't think about it, but the flesh is going to be at an enmity against the spirit. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter, starting at verse 8 and following, says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. That was not, he didn't say try to love, did he? If there's a word try in your Bible, throw that Bible away. He said love as brethren. Have compassion. See, like all of these things are dealing with strife right up front. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for really, but contrarywise, blessing. Okay? Knowing that thereunto are you called, that you should inherit a blessing. He says, do not render evil for evil. Do not render railing for railing. If you run into evil, bless. If you run into people talking about you, bless. That's in red in your Bible. Matthew chapter 5. Pray for those that persecute you, those that despitefully use you. He said, bless. Empower them. Wow. Okay. 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 So if I'm supposed to use my words to empower them, do you think I can talk about them at the same time I'm trying to empower them? My degrading them is me robbing them. And I'm supposed to empower, bless them, declare good about them. See? And this is normal for us. And then we listen to songs and watch TV that teaches us the contrary. See? Rather than go and say, no, my mind has to be renewed. I've got to go and hear what God says confirmed in my spirit. I cannot hear what God says and have it confirmed in my spirit if I've got other stuff in my spirit telling me that God is wrong. What they gonna do, they gonna get away. They get away with nothing. They can't get, well, that's a good point. They can't get away with anything if you've already forgiven them, can they? Oh, wow. Huh. If there is no accusation, they're not guilty, are they? Woo! That'll preach. See, that's why we're supposed to owe no man anything but to love him. And love covers a multitude of sin. So then if the sin is covered, I cannot have an account of it because love does not take an account of things that are done wrong to them. I cannot do opposite of what the man said. He says, when you run into evil, don't return evil. When you run into railing, don't return railing. But contrarywise, release blessing. Why? Because you know something. Okay, all right. See, that's just good. He said that you should know something even when you are experiencing something else. Okay? You experience railing. But what do you know? Amen. Because before the railing happened, you still had a knowing. Before the evil happened, you still had a knowing. See, I believe that when he said, I am the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, and I will have no other gods before me, I believe that means across the whole gamut. Not just the gods of choice, because I choose this or I like that. I don't choose that. I'm not just the God of choice, but God gets to my experience first. Otherwise, he wouldn't say stuff like, follow peace. If all I saw was evil, how could I follow peace? Peace had to be there first, didn't it? Because I have a knowing, even though I'm experiencing an evil. See? But we are moved by the experience rather than the knowing. The experience exalts itself against the knowledge of God. He says things to us that God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Therefore, we will boldly say this, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. So then if he never leaves me, he has to be there prior to the experience. Is that correct? He didn't say, I will come to you after the hurt. He said, never leave you. Never forsake you. And that causes our conversation to be bold against the thing that I'm now experiencing. See, Isaiah chapter 59, 19 says that when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard. He didn't say he would build a standard. He said he would raise the standard up. In order for the standard to be risen up, it has to already be there. It has to already be constructed. See? Because he will not have any other gods to come there first. The God that we worship as pain, frustration, anxiety, it didn't get there first. There was nothing that was made that was not made by him. There was nothing that was made that was not made by him. All things consist by him. So that means he was there first. See? So since he was there first, why don't I go back to my first love? See? Why don't I go back to talk to him? Why? Because as I talk to him, then the answer that I'm needing that will confront the thing that's coming against me, the circumstances, things circled around me, standing against me, circumstances. See? I don't have to be moved by circumstances. The waves and the wind were circumstances. The word come was the word that overcame circumstances. That's what gave Peter the ability to do what he couldn't do before in his own mind, to do what had never been seen being done before. And at that time, all of the other disciples could have said, Lord, me too. Glory to God. He's no respecter of persons. Instead of looking in awe and just saying, what manner of man is this? They're going to say, hey, Jesus, give me some of that. And he would have said, okay, we don't need boats no more, boys. Walk from here to the shore. What kind of Holy Ghost party would we have had then? Things like that are available to us, have been offered to us. Where do you get that from? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Jesus said, and greater works than these shall you do. Oh, I'm not making this up. It's already in your Bible. See? But we have stopped following after the truth of the word and have allowed ourselves to come back instead of going forward. See? He wants to increase us more and more, 1,000 times. He wants to increase us. When the first church started, it says in the book of Acts chapter 4, it says, and great grace was upon them all. Upon them all. Not small grace. Great grace. And that great grace has not left. It has not been utilized, but he has not left. Because when we come to the throne of grace, we will obtain mercy and we will find the grace that's there to help in the time of need. But not many people have pressed into it from that perspective. We'd rather use grace for our mistakes. Oh, Lord, have grace. He's full of it. He doesn't have a choice. But did we grow in it? Probably not. Because when we don't walk out the word that has been given, sent to us, then we don't enjoy the purpose of God, the plan of God for our lives. For thereunto are you called, verse 9, that you should, he didn't say that you might, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days. What kind of days? Good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. The word eschew means to hate. And they didn't, the people that participate in strife, they do not disdain low hearts, low acts. They set the bar low and walk, I guess they think they're doing the limbo. They walk under the bar. Glory to God. But you are supposed to, you are those that are supposed to walk uprightly. See? So we should not go under the bar that God has set. Jesus said greater works. We haven't even believed for the equal works. You got to understand, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, and Jesus still had love for the man. Because if I know you after me, you got to get away from me. But Jesus didn't do that. He continued to give him room to do whatever he wanted to do. See? Yes, it was part of the will of God so that they can do what was necessary. I got that. That's true. But Jesus didn't stop the process. See? So, I mean, we've got to stop having strife in our heart against God and one another. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So then, if I'm participating in strife, I would call that doing evil. If I'm separating myself from brothers and sisters because I don't like this, that, I don't like what they said, I would consider that doing evil. And you do remember that for him to know to do good and do it not, to him, it is sin. It is being without a portion. It is being robbed. If I'm without a portion and the devil is involved, he just robbed me. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Who is he that could harm you? But if I'm going to try to do tit for tat, then I think that the one that harmed me is getting away with it. And I didn't do what the rest of the verse says. But if you suffer for righteousness, have righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, or neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of hope that's within you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as an evildoer, they may be ashamed that falsely accused you by your good conversation in Christ. For it's better that if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil. You should. If you're going to go through something, go through it the right way. Stop going through it because you do the wrong thing. Stop sowing into the field that the devil has put strife in the field. Stop sowing into that field. Because if you sow into that field, you're going to reap from that field. You're going to have to eat from that field. And he goes on, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit, by that which he also went preached to the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when what's the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. While the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, like a figure whereunto even baptism does save now, but not by the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of God, of good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into the heavens at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Verse 4, chapter 4, excuse me. For as much then as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Why? For he that suffered from in the flesh has ceased from sin. Why? That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the lust of men, but to the will of God. So then I would ask a question here. Do you want to spend the rest of your time in the lust of men, being equal to them, same as them, not being able to overcome, just like they haven't been able to overcome, walking around in the same circle, not going nowhere? Or do you want to live to the will of God? I mean, the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? Will you continue to have strife in your hearts against God and against man? So that not only can God not hear your prayers, he can't move in your behalf. He can't defend you. Cause the things that are supposed to work together for your good to actually do that. Because you have found yourself in opposition to him. Not knowing his word, not knowing his power, not submitting to his spirit. So that the things that he's been wanting to do, he wants you to enjoy all things richly. He wants to give you the things that righteousness brings to you. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and thank you that you continue to reveal to us the things that stopping us from flowing in your love, flowing in your grace, moving by your spirit. Thank you that you continue to show us how we can stand up as a man and no longer have to cry as a baby, but that we can experience the victory that's been given by Christ Jesus daily. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Well, again, as we go to the end, if you have any questions or any comments about the ministry today, we'll give you an opportunity to share those. So area code 678-521-0933. You have the mic. Area code 678-521-0933. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? Go ahead. All right, area code 228-918-0912. You have the mic. Area code 228-918-0912. Hello there.
Hi, I was listening.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I was blessed.
Amen. Amen. Glad to have you on the call again. Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
And we'll look for you. We'll be back at it. Part two will be next week, and I'll try to get back into the book of James. And I gave you the scriptures as foundation so that you can study them up. I'll give them back to you here in just a minute. And area code 445524742. You have the mic. Any questions or comments? Area code 445524742. Excuse me. You have the mic. Go ahead. Any questions or comments? So I'll give you the foundation scriptures again, and you can look at them, read them, study them, and then maybe God will give you some comments or questions out of that, and we'll be glad to answer them. They were, again, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, Proverbs 16, verses 6 and 7, Proverbs 17, verse 14, Proverbs 18, verse 14, Proverbs 26, verses 17 through 28, Proverbs 28, verse 25, John chapter 10, verse 10, Romans chapter 7, verse 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 20, and chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26, and Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to chapter 3, verse 8. And again, I will repeat those next week to give them to you, because I believe God is able to give you the same revelations that he gave me, that we can all grow by that. And so until the next time we get together, may the Lord bless you and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And if you were blessed by this ministry and the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, then you can go to the website and find the donate tab, and you can donate then. So just be obedient to the Lord, and he will show you his grace and favor, because you have agreed with the things that his word says, his spirit reveals, and then you will grow exponentially in this dispensation because of your faithfulness in that regard. So again, thank you for joining the call, and we'll look forward to speaking with you next week. Until then, shalom.